Blog Talk Radio.
We are Sex Bomb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I'm hearing voices, animal voices, the tremor of cold, the feminine of this generation.
I thought that would get you all amped up this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday.
I got sleep. I am awake. I'm running on about 4 hours. That was me yesterday.
I think your whole little schedule is totally rubbing off on me.
Don't be blaming me for your neck looking tight.
I don't know what she's talking about.
She knows exactly what I'm talking about.
She's not a clue what you're talking about.
Nope. Yes, you do.
Nice. I'm going to start pressing for Nolan.
You're good. Blaming poor Corey.
It is all Corey's fault. All Corey's fault. Y'all have no idea.
I'll tell you what I'm laughing at. The person that just stood up at their desk and started having a boss battle with the person in the next cubicle because I'm playing this song. Y'all are going to get fired.
No way. No way. Seriously, if I worked in the office with people, I've already got it planned out. I'd have to have, like, office siege warfare. Like, those little Nerf USB commanded things. Oh, yeah.
Ah, welcome to Lunch with Ginger and Corey.
And I am Corey.
And I am Ginger.
Who are you again?
Ginger.
Yay! It's us!
I tell you what's amazing. Tell you what's amazing. People would think I'm a morning person. I so am not.
I am if I wake up on my own. If you wake me up, oh, good Lord, help you.
It's bad either way. You can't wake me up. I can't wake up on my own. I am just not a morning person. So, but you would think I was when you listen to the show in the morning. So be warned, those of you out there who actually get to hang out with us at PAX, do not wake me and don't talk to me before 12 o'clock.
Yes, bring coffee and, yeah, good food. Should be all good.
Mm-mm. That will not save you either. I had good food at PAX last year because we stayed in a very nice, very wonderful place. I would tell you their name, but I don't remember, and then I don't want you guys talking to us later. However, if we're there again this year. But they fed me that morning. I mean, I had every breakfast food I could ever think I wanted to eat, Belgian waffles and whatnot, and I was still angry.
Girl, I'm hungry, and you're talking about Belgian waffles.
That's what you were crunching in my ear a minute ago.
That is not nice. That is not nice.
You were crunching in my ear a minute ago.
Good.
See, you see, you guys see how she treats me? All of them are just mean to me all over the weekend.
Don't let her lie. She loves it.
They were horrible to me over the weekend. I got
was I horrible to you over the weekend?
This one here didn't invite me to her Second Life wedding.
What wedding?
The other one was sending me messages because she's in love, too, in Second Life. And then the other one called me to my, where's my purse? Expletive. That was Blaster. I got full love from my people this weekend.
Blaster was looking for his purse.
You guys, if you listen to the show Thursday night, you heard him talking about a purse. We are learning how to, I told you, we're all very talented here. So he's learning how to make what's called a sculpty. When you go in Second Life, that's a very powerful word, sculpty. So he's learning how to make them, and one of them was the shape of a purse. It's a Louis Vuitton bag that he made, so I have to color it and make it look like a purse. So he keeps asking me, where's my purse? Expletive that I can't say during the day. But it sounds wrong.
Yeah. I got to get you to make me a top later.
I got to make you a top?
Mm-hmm, because I'm so not talented in that department.
Girl, look here.
I love you, Corey.
Why are y'all trying to kill me? Y'all hate me, don't you? They hate me. They want the precious. I don't have it.
No precious.
So Miss Ginger, finally got to see Scott Pilgrim over the weekend. Did you?
I
love it.
Did. That game is movie is flipping awesome. I loved it. I laughed so hard. And then several times I was like, what in the hell is going on? The vegan guy? Ugh. Seriously. That guy was just.
Oh, him. The one that was Superman? Uh-huh.
Yeah, he was hot, but he was such a jerk.
Like,
wow.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I loved his roommate. The roommate. It starts off with, you know, Scott and his gay roommate. Too cute together. And then it's Scott, his gay roommate, and the gay roommate's boyfriend. And then before the movie's over with, there's like two other guys in the bed because they all share beds. So there's like four guys in the bed together.
I loved Lewis. Lewis was my favorite.
Lewis is amazing. And he called out that first fight. He's like, fight, fight, fight. And then
fight.
Yeah. And like all the other ones, it was him who called it out. Oh, yeah, by the way, fight.
Scott, it's that guy. Now, some of you who are old enough to remember, if Lewis looks familiar to you, you probably don't know him, but you know his big brother.
His older brother was Macaulay Culkin, right?
That's right.
The person I watched this with was trying to tell me that was Macaulay Culkin. I was like, no, that's not.
But have you seen all of the Culkin brothers since they've grown up?
No, but the one...
What? Oh, my God.
Really? The one from the movies kind of looks skeezy to me, so...
Lewis?
No, Macaulay Culkin himself.
Oh, well, he's not so cute, but Kieran and another one, the one that's right below Macaulay, all of them hot. I found a picture of them on the internet. I was like, oh, my God, look at these boys. Juicy. Who knew you guys were going to grow up to look like that? Who knew?
Yeah.
I love me some testosterone. Not in me, but in other people. Oh, my God. It's a beautiful thing. Okay. Yeah, we gotta get
the little blonde girl with the pigtails. Too cute.
Brie Larson, a.k.a. Envy Adams. Yes.
Yes. That was Envy, was it? The chick, she had the black stuff underneath her eyes. She was the girlfriend.
Oh.
One of the evil exes.
Oh, yes. I don't know her real name, but yes, she is adorable. Her outfit is very reminiscent of a lot of outfits in Second Life, ironically.
Yes.
And that coat. I'm going to go find that. I'm going to wear it.
And I was thinking, you know, I think I have that hair.
I think you should wear that to PAX. That's what you should wear. I'm serious. I think you could pull that. You got the haircut already.
That's true. I might have to watch this again and think about that.
Yeah,
I'm not going blonde. No, not blonde.
I think the redhead and that outfit you'd work.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get a ribbon, I will even make the weapon for you.
That would be awesome.
Yes, you can take it off.
I love you, Corey.
Flip it around. I'm going to stand far away because that's cutting of epic proportions that I can't even touch that. But, yeah. All right, so we got to some news. People are like, okay, I'll tell us.
I know, right?
Sorry, y'all know.
All right, well, can I start? Because
yes.
I got to call some people out.
Do it.
Oh. All right, this came up over the weekend on GamePolitics.com because you know I love that website. Anonymous member calls PSN users selfish and butthurt.
Oh, no, you already told us that Friday.
Did I?
You did.
Yeah. Let me go back to, oh, my God, I can't believe you said this. All right, well, if I've read that one, then let me go to a better one. Oh, yes, Nintendo strengthens website security. Nintendo has introduced additional security measures to its websites to ensure the ongoing safety of visitors, the company announced today. The beefed up security follows a phishing threat identified on one of its websites earlier this month, as well as a breach in security by hacking group LulzSec, you know, who we all know are just douche nozzles. Nintendo said in a statement that its website is now fully operational and visitors can now safely log back into their Club Nintendo account.
All right.
We have done a comprehensive scan of the whole website and introduced additional security measures to ensure the ongoing safety of our customers, read a statement from the company. We would like to reassure customers that their protection is our utmost priority, and we take security very seriously. We maintain constant monitoring of our systems in order to identify intrusion attempts and block them. The company then thanked the public for its patience and understanding and apologized for having to take down part of its website. Nintendo also reiterated that Club Nintendo users should change their passwords and report any and all suspicious account activity to its customer service department. So way to go, Nintendo. I like it when you're proactive.
Proactive and preemptive. I love it. Mm-hmm. See, everybody else should have done that immediately after that happened to Sony, and we wouldn't be having everybody getting hacked. Would you think they were only going to go after Sony? No.
I know, and everybody is getting hacked. Oh,
including Sega. But anyway, or Sega, depending on which era you were born in. Okay. All right, so I just got to call this one out. You know, Obama, you know I love you. I love you like cooked food. However, let's talk about this Father's Day address you gave yesterday. So during his National Father's Day address yesterday, President Obama urged parents to tell kids to turn off the video games and pick up a book. He also talked about the growing up without a father and why having a father figure in a child's life is important. We know that every father, this is him, what he said, has a personal responsibility to do right by their kids, to encourage them to turn off the video games and pick up a book, to teach them the difference between right and wrong, to show them through our own example the value in treating one another as we wish to be treated, and most of all, to play an active and engaged role in their lives. He said, but all of us have a stake in forging stronger bonds with fathers and their children. All of us can support those who are willing to step up and be father figures to those children growing up without a dad. And that's the year. That's what the year of strong fathers, strong families is all about. This is a theme that he hits on every once in a while. In 2009, he encouraged parents to turn off the video games and get their children outside to play. And in 2008, during the presidential campaign, he said the parents need to avoid letting media like video games and television raise their children. Obama, look here. I'm not going to say you're wrong. However, let me just tell you, you're walking a very fine line there. And if you happen to fall on the side against the video games, you might want to speak to Miss Clinton about what we did to her. Mm-hmm. And I personally led the charge for that. You do that, and you will not be receiving a vote from me this upcoming time. I swear to you I won't, and I will make sure nobody votes for you except for you. No. This mm-hmm. is a no-no. I'm not saying every parent, and some parents are not guilty of using the consoles as their babysitter, but please do not jump on us. We are the same generation that put you into office, and the reason why you were able to is because we're the generation that sits on the Facebook and Twitter. That's how you got your money. You were the first president in history to ever do that, and it was not your, not the kids' grandparents that did this, because they wouldn't. A lot of them don't know how to use Facebook and Twitter. It was us, the video game generation. So, walk that line very carefully. Let's not jump on the bandwagon against the video game people. We're not evil.
Mm-mm.
At least those of us who are not named Anonymous and Lulzsack are not evil.
This whole thing with Lulzsack just ticks me off. Anonymous, you started this. This is your fault, and you need to clean this mess up.
They did. I can't even blame GeoHots for that, because technically he did something stupid. But Anonymous trying to come to his rescue made it much, much worse.
Yes.
And even if they're saying they didn't do anything, the whole, well, it might be us, it might be one of our people, but we didn't do it directly. If it's one of your people, then you did it.
Mm-hmm. Y'all started it.
It's kind of like this. Okay, let me explain this to you people out there who don't get it. If you were in a car and you went with your friend to the corner store, he went in and robbed the store and came out and got in the car and said, drive away, I just robbed the store. And if you drive the car away, you just became an accessory to a crime. So, same thing, Anonymous. You may not have directly ordered that this be done, but you know who did it. Basically, you let them get in the car, and you're protecting them. So now you are an accessory. See how this works? So if you know who it is, and you're trying to say it's not you, it's somebody you didn't tell to do it, then you need to point them out and say, hey, this is not us. This is this guy over here. Yes, he was in our group, but we didn't tell him to do it. So go ahead and take him to jail and get yourself off the hook. I'm sorry. Or when they catch all of you going down. And if we catch you, you better hope the cops get to you first.
Yes, exactly.
You're messing with
me. If we catch you, mm-hmm. There's going to be some cutting going on. It's not going to be the good kind.
Oh, God. Oh, time to move on.
Corey's going to get me.
No. I loosen the girl's necklace, and then she just starts saying stuff. Okay. She got it.
Oh, my God.
Just start talking. The necklace is loose. Okay. Moving along. Mm-hmm.
Moving right along.
It's your turn, Ginger May.
Oh, it is my turn. You know me. Bright, shiny objects. I got distracted. All right, so. Adventure in the world of eDragon as either an elf, dwarf, or barbarian and discover the most epic web browser gaming experience. Engage in 6 dominating races and battle for treasure in an ever-changing landscape. All right. So QuickGame, a new privately funded browser online game publisher, today announced the open beta for its first browser RPG, E-Dragon, which allows players to explore, adventure, and quest in the fantasy world. Whether adventuring, whether adventuring together or fighting alone against monsters, players are able to play E-Dragon for free with no download required.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what is being said? They say, we are working 24/7 and won't stop until E-Dragon reaches perfection. This is coming from, oh, I'm going to kill your name, dude. I'm so sorry. Zio Qing Lee, CEO of Quick Game. With balanced play at the forefront, this fantasy browser MMORPG game boasts six races, each with their own unique weapons, tactics, and fighting styles. Players testing E-Dragon in the closed beta will be rewarded with prizes and gold, which are worth $50. Also, Click Game opens three events for all players in the present server, Level Up Racing, Imaginative Story Writing, and Newbie Help. More events are scheduled to begin to be open in the next following days, giving users a free chance to taste E-Dragon, including all playable races, a newbie package, free gold, PvP duels, and plenty of zones and dungeons to explore. All right, so what all does E-Dragon have to offer? Become part of the history of E-Dragon and create your own story in the fantastic world. Join guilds in order to combat dangers and hazards that threaten humans for centuries. Team up with players to brawl dungeons, which are populated by creatures and monsters. Usually that's how dungeons work. Engage in PvP and challenge other players in the arena. Go hunting and gathering enough material for your next raid and weapon crafting. And much, much more. You have the choice, they say. All right, so if you're interested in this and you want to check it out, you can head over to edragon.clickgame.com. Click is K-L-I-C-K. Just so you know.
Just so they know. Just in case.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I've already put this up on our website, gamingatrix.com. At least I think I did. Go over there and check that out. Woo 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 woo!
Oh wow, I'm way too hyper. Okay, I'm trying new vitamins. Ooh, y'all ever try new vitamins and it's hot? Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. I have one of those.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. Here's something not so good. Speaking of hacking, I am so sorry to say this. So those of you out there that are back on the PlayStation Network, you're all happy, you're excited, you're like, yay, everything is solid. It is not. Oh, this is not good, Sony. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Keep your head up, though. So Sega was hacked after the post-PSN security update. Games Industry.biz is reporting that the hack has compromised the personal details, and we did tell you Sega was hacked, but I'm giving you more detail about what happened because we didn't really go into detail. The personal details of about 1.3 million Sega users happened after the company had already tightened security in the wake of the PSN breach. Remember we reported this Friday, it was hot. We were the first one to break the story. And these are more details. So the company's promised over the weekend, or this past weekend, to further strengthen its network security as a priority. And as a result of this is as a result of last week's attack that we told you about. But additional changes have already been made to the internal security as a direct response to the assault that brought down Sony's online services, which, of course, affected 100 million users. Speaking last month, Sega West CEO Mike Hayes told Games Industry Biz, he said that we did a security audit as a result of this, which is probably 6 months earlier than normal, and it was just a good housekeeping exercise. We made a couple of changes to some of our security systems. I'm sure most people have done exactly the same. Hayes acknowledged that the PSN hack has been an interesting wake-up call for all of us. He also added, fortunately, we seem pretty solid, so we don't have to do too many additional changes. However, on June 17th, Sega issued a statement to customers confirming its security had been bypassed. Over the last 24 hours, which is what we told you, over the last 24 hours, we've identified that unauthorized entry was gained to our Sega Pass database. They immediately took the appropriate action to protect all of our data, and they isolated the location of the breach, and they've launched an investigation, all of which we told you on Friday.
This is crazy. LulzSec, Anonymous, I don't know who else is doing this. Stop. It's no longer funny.
Yeah.
All right, let me rephrase this. It wasn't funny to begin with. Now this is just sad and pathetic and makes me want to find you and tie you up in a bag and beat the ever-living crap out of you.
Amen. Of
the
course,
baseball bat, studded one.
Amen. The Sega Pass service, of course, is still offline while they're conducting an investigation. You know, I am starting really to believe the theory that I heard that this is an inside job. This is somebody. There's no way. well, I'm not going to say there's no way. I know some of you out there are hackers and are that good, but there's no way the speed with which this is happening can be that it's an outside job. If somebody's, you know what I mean? Like Sega's a part of the PlayStation Network, and they're saying, you know, PlayStation went back in and beefed up their security.
And, you know, I think I said that early on. I wondered.
Yeah, you did. That was you. I was trying to figure out who said it. It was you.
That was me.
I'm starting to think they need to start looking at employees. They need to start putting cameras on them and start watching what they're doing and get the cops involved to follow them around. I'm sorry, but I believe somebody inside the company is doing this. Maybe they're mad because they didn't get a raise, or maybe they're getting their yucks, but I'm telling you.
Or maybe they're stupid enough to think they belong to Anonymous. They're doing it for the lulz. Which, let me tell you, I'm going to do for the lulz when I get a hold of you.
Come on, people. So, yeah, that's what we believe. It's an inside job. I'm looking at some of the developer comments. Some are saying it's impossible to secure an internet connection so that nobody can breach it. I would say not necessarily. There's a way to do so. They could put information completely separate and make it, we're not going to get into those discussions. Anyway, you hackers out there, feel free to drop by our forums if you feel like, you know, telling me I'm wrong or right. I don't really care. But come by. Come by anyway. And apparently they need some iPad testers from somewhere. Don't y'all love when y'all get those emails?
Mm-hmm.
You can test and keep an iPad. Why? And it's going to be pink, by the way, is what they're offering me, because obviously I need a pink one because I'm a girl. Anybody out there seen a pink iPad?
No, but if they come out with pink iPads, I want one.
You know, I would like to say I wouldn't want one. How very sexist of you. Now give it to me.
Yes, some sparklies here and some sparklies there, and it'll be even better.
Right? I surely would. Don't tell me. Girl, I surely would. It's all over the back. Somebody would just jack my iPad because it's pretty. It might not even work. I'm just carrying it. And it just... All right. Anyway, on to more news. Ms. Ginger.
More news. All right, because, you know, I still love me some WoW, even if I'm not playing it. I do miss it. Anyways, Arena Pass, registration closing, and teams locking. Oh, yes. It's that time of year again, people.
Mm-hmm.
The floor of the arena is covered in sweat and blood, tension, and excitement to grow with every fight. And it's almost time for the next phase of the saga of competitive carnage. On Tuesday, the 21st of June at 10 p.m. CEST, registration will close. Of course, this is for Euro servers, by the way. So, Americans, just don't pay attention. So if you're still not signed up for the challenge, make sure you don't miss your chance. And then on Wednesday, the 22nd of June, ranked ladder phase 2 of the 2011 World of Warcraft Arena Pass will begin. Oh, yes. They say hold on tight to your comrades in arms, or make sure to find some good mates if you haven't done so. This is your very last chance to form a new team when the ranked ladder phase 2 starts. No more roster changes will be possible. They do say, please remember that you must remain on your team for the entire duration of the Arena Pass to ensure prize eligibility, and only games played in the 3-versus-3 bracket count towards this goal. All right, so they say if you would like more information on the Arena Pass, you can find it at their World of Warcraft 2011 Arena Pass page, which is eu.battle.net/wow/en/game/arena. I miss playing in the arena. That was so much fun. I love killing people.
Oh, in-game. Yes, in-game. Wait, no, yes, please make sure you specify that. I was like,
In-games. There's somebody buried in my backyard.
Shh.
Look under that rose bush.
Shh. What are we going to do with you? Okay. I'm going to keep that comment. Ooh, the comment just was about to come out of my mouth. I'm going to keep that to myself. Okay. So, Paradox Interactive, one of our all-time favorite game companies or game publishers, is announcing King Arthur Fallen Champions. Hear ye, Champions of King Arthur. A new quest awaits. They've unveiled, of course, a brand new installment for the King Arthur series, King Arthur Fallen Champion. This particular standalone game is set to launch very soon and serves as the bridge between King Arthur 1 and the upcoming sequel, King Arthur 2. Yes,
Isn't that nice of them to give you a little, you know, little taste? So for all you brave heroes impatiently waiting King Arthur 2, the standalone game at King Arthur Fallen Champions will make the wait less unbearable. This will be arriving soon with a suggested retail price of $9.99. Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome.
Yes. Now, the King Arthur Fallen Champions features the story of three brave souls, a knight, an enchantress, and a prophet, who venture through the uncharted lands beyond the forest of Bedegreen in fulfillment of their individual quests. It's Sir Lionel, who's a brave knight from Britannia. It's always Britannia. Can we make up a new name? of course, he's on a quest to rescue the damsel in distress, as always. There's also Lady Corrigan of the Cid. She's an enchantress of the twilight, and she's seeking to find the secret passageway so it'll lead her back to her lost home of Tirnog. And there's Dress the Chosen, a prophet of the north, and he's drawn by the mystic voices and visions to explore the wild lands. They got medication for that, Dressed. Tied together by strings of fate, these three heroes must join hands in order to prevail as champions of a forgotten battle that began a long, long time ago. And I love how my story just froze up. So I'm about to say, okay, yeah, I was about to tell you the features. Okay, here we go. Now it unfroze for me. Thank you. You can, of course, follow the three heroes. Each has their own storyline. So ladies out there, you don't want to play as a guy, you can just play as the enchantress. Mm-hmm. Of course, the fates of their fates are intertwined, so their quests do lead up to one massive battle. There's a variety of battles fought on unique, beautifully crafted battle maps, ranging from smaller tactical skirmishes to the grand engagements against superior numbers. There's dark and gripping fantasy that bridges the gap between King Arthur and King Arthur II, set in an ancient region of Britannia beyond the well-known territories of King Arthur. I'm still going to get cut. Okay, so... So if you want to keep up with this, this is a particular age that you love, and I think I'm starting to get away from the whole King Arthur thing, but you might want to. You can find them on Facebook, King Arthur Game, Twitter, King Arthur Game, and also you can check out their webpage, kingarthurthewargame.com. And I believe there are some other little tidbits that they're leaving out that you can do, like I think you can fight against your friends, tournaments and whatnot, is what they're hinting at here. So go check it out. Tell them that we sent you. Tell them you love it. And for $9, that's good summer gaming right there.
Mm-hmm. That is some good summer gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, well, we've got a bit of scandal, and Corey did link this on Facebook, but I'm going to steal the story.
What?
Because, yeah, I'm totally stealing it.
What?
Yeah. U.S. All right, I'm pulling this from GMRFM. Pulling it from the website. U.S. PR firm at center of Duke Nukem Forever scandal. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did post it, didn't I?
The tweet was, always bet on Duke. Too many went too far with their reviews. We are reviewing who gets games next time and who doesn't based on today's Venom. Oh, yes. That's not good. An American PR firm representing the game Duke Nukem Forever has become embroiled in controversy after the company's Twitter account claimed that those who gave the game negative criticism would not be receiving review codes in the future.
That's
not good. No, a follow-up tweet claimed that some reviews of the game were too harsh and became mean-spirited, citing a reviewer who gave the game a 2 out of 10 score. The game has scored negatively almost across the board, with console reviews being particularly harsh. Some have also highlighted that the game's sense of humor could be construed as being outdated at best and offensive at worst. Oh, come on, it's Duke Nukem.
Exactly. Oh, my God.
Yeah, there has been an update to the story, apparently. 2K has now confirmed that the Redner Group, which is who tweeted this, would no longer be representing its games. The Redner Group itself has offered an apology and has also confirmed that its professional relationship with 2K was now at an end. A victory for the press, and hopefully just a reminder that the press should be the ones that hold all the power in that particular relationship, not the PR groups.
That's correct.
I can't help but agree. If you put out a crappy game, I'm looking at you, you know who you are, and I tell you that your game is crappy, don't come crying to me. Fix your game. Fix your game.
Fix your... Here's the thing. It's Duke Nukem. I think some people are overreacting. Oh, it's outdated. It's supposed to be. It's all tongue-in-cheek humor.
Come on. He's a sexist
pig.
Yeah.
And if we had managed to get a copy. You know what's funny is that the same PR firm was the one that refused to give us a copy. And then they, see, I told y'all something bad was going to happen to them.
Yeah. had y'all sent it to us, we would have laughed about it and had fun playing and given you a good review, most likely. Maybe. I don't know. But no. Instead, you had to send it to the boy company, the boy site, because, you know, girls don't want to play this.
Well, no, they sent it to the boys, and the boys are trying so hard to be PC because everybody wants to play with the girls now. It's all about us. But yeah,
really
but PC. Yeah, but we're not being PC. If it sucks, it sucks. And if it's good, it's good. If it's funny, it's funny. And I'm thinking that it's probably funny. People are just being a little bit too PC. But company, I did tell you that stuff was going to happen. That's what you get for talking crazy to people.
Okay. Mm-hmm. True story.
Is that, I didn't share y'all what that email said. It was not nice. But
have fun and on your butt.
That's a big account to lose. Oof. Take two? Yeah. But I do believe media should have the power. Some of you out there cannot accept, as Ginger said, your game is not good. It's not good, and you should hear about it if it is. You shouldn't want good reviews just to sell it. You should want to be like Rockstar and put out a game that is just epic, and people are like, you can't even dispute how epic this is. What can you say about it? Nothing. It's just good. All right. So you people out there that like Fruit and Ninjas, right now I am currently uploading a beautiful trailer on our YouTube channel, and now I'm going to tell you about it. It's an iPhone game. An iPad, yeah. Let me just say for the record, I have found maybe 1 to 2 out of hundreds of iPad games I downloaded over the weekend since I was up all night Saturday to Sunday, and they all sucked. What are you people doing on iPad? Can we get some real developers? Can we get the Take-Twos and the Nintendos to come over and do something? Come on. This is, I wanted to throw up. Anyway, all right, so those of you who like the Fruit and the Ninjas, you can check out this game. I have not played it. I don't know anything about it. Maybe later. They basically did an update. So the game has been out. It's called Fruit Ninja Pomegranate.
Have you ever been hit by a pomegranate? Things don't exactly feel very good.
No, they do not. So what the update contains a new piece of music for the dojo, as well as an option to view your friends' all-time high scores on the results screens. There's a screenshot attached, and you can also download the video file from our website here. Maybe. Okay, Dungeons and Dragons people, I see your email, but I can't do anything with it. I love when they send us stuff like, can you put this in real quick? No. It's not even a press release. It's screenshots. Come on, people. I can't put that in real quick. Nah.
Yes, and here's a screenshot, and there's some blue in this corner and a little bit of black in that one. And
see, this one's got a sword in it. And
yeah.
Okay, so
that's what we can use, people.
Well,
saying we don't appreciate the screenshots.
Okay, wait. He sent a second email that says about their updates. I guess I'll share that with you because this Fruit Ninja story is pretty short. But you can check out that trailer. It should be up. Well, it's up now. Go check it out on our YouTube channel if you want to check out what it's like to be hit with a pomegranate. If that's what you like. If you're into being hit with pomegranates, some of you out there like that kind of stuff. Dungeons and Dragons Online has been updated. It's update 10, and it's now live. The update follows a story that began back in Update 9, they're saying, brings you face-to-face with all new personified madness, old acquaintances, and unlikely new allies. The Reign of Madness Adventure Pack. This is a pack, not necessarily an update. I like when you get all confused like that. Of course, it'll test your skill with a blade, the deftness of your spellcasting, and your very sanity. Will you prove yourself to be the savior of Stormreach, or will you fall victim to the forces that threaten to unravel the city from within? Let's see. It looks like they got some new areas. Acute delirium. Ah, okay. Return to the Sleeping Spell and blah, blah, blah. Some of you will know this. I don't. I haven't played Dungeons & Dragons Online yet, like ever. You did?
Mm-hmm.
Did you play? Did you like it?
No, it's all right. It wasn't bad.
I was not a fan.
I'm not still playing it, but it's...
good morning to Molly Pop, who's Twittering us this morning.
Molly Pop. I love you, Molly Pop.
Hello,
you doing, Molly Pop. Molly Pop.
Okay, now she works for a gamer site. I can't say the name of your site, Molly, because we only do all girls sites. But she does write for a gaming site, and she said that they gave Duke Nukem a 6 out of 10, which is not too bad. If you want to see their review, you can pop by our Twitter. Mm-hmm. See how we do that, Molly? You pop by our Twitter and find her there. I'll retweet it, but I can't say it. We have a strict policy against, all girl only sites. We'll mention you, but we can't mention your site. See, this doesn't look too bad. Anyway, you played Dungeons & Dragons. You said it's good, no, bad.
It was, yeah.
Apparently, they also have some crafting that they're adding, which is currently in beta. It's something about introduction of unbound items, which you can fashion in the Kundarak Enclave Crafting Hall. You can create shards that can be traded or auctioned to other players, forge unbound weapons for sale or trade, craft new items for your guild, outfits for your friends, or just make a few coins for yourself. The choice is yours. It's amazing how they WoW pulled so many people away from EverQuest, you know, with the crafting, and people didn't like it, and now there's this big rush to get back to it because you realize it's a big part of gameplay, big part of some people like that's all they want to do. Like myself, I would sit in a spot and craft all day and sell my stuff.
Yes, yes, yes. I love me some crafting. Actually, I love me some fishing. Put some fishing in the game, and oh, I'm
there
in heaven.
There was fishing in EverQuest. I'm going to tell you how I know, because I died many times falling off the pier catching fish.
Yes, 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 yes. Getting too drunk while I was fishing.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't drunk. I just didn't know how to swim, and I bought the swimming skill and couldn't swim. How about that? I'll be typing to my friend, because, you know, there was no voice back in those days. I forgot how to swim. Which is the keys? Quick, quick, quick. I'm halfway down. My breath is gone. Help him. That's how I learned how to type so fast, if y'all want to know the truth.
Help, help, help. That's hilarious, Corey.
Yes, yes. All right, more news, more news.
More news, more news. All right, I can do that. Australian Classification Board revisits We Dare rating. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com. Looks like they pulled it possibly from GameSpot. The Australian Classification Board said this week that it will rethink the current PG parental guidance rating for Ubisoft's We Dare, a game which received heavy criticism earlier this year for its adult content and sexually suggestive minigames. About time. The review will be carried out on June 17th and will be conducted by the Classification Review Board. The re-review is the result of a formal complaint filed by Federal Minister of Home Affairs, Brendan O'Connor. Chances are it will result in a higher rating for the title. In March, the board took some heat from the public over its decision to give the Ubisoft-published adult party game for the Wii a PG rating for mild sexual references. Mild? Did you watch that trailer? Yeah. A number of early... I mean, heck, even the picture I'm sitting here looking at shows a guy spanking a girl. So, A number of early media reports blamed the board for inappropriately rating the game because of the trailer, which showed two couples engaged in some saucy and suggestive situations inspired by the game's mini games. Suggestive, yes. The chick is stripping and you're spanking her, and yeah. Okay. So, in Australia, the Classification Board of Australia rated We Dare PG, ignoring Ubisoft's recommendation that they give the game an M rating. When the publisher says its game needs an M rating, it seems wise to heed such advice. Connor tells GameSpot that media reports about the game led him to contact the Classification Board about We Dare. All right, so what does he say? He says, I asked the Classification Board to review We Dare following media reports that the game's PG rating may be inappropriate. I believe this game is unsuitable for children, you think? And I look forward to the outcome of the Classification Board's review of its PG rating.
Right.
I share the concern of many parents that children may be inadvertently playing games that are more suited to adult gamers. I want to say that the cover of the box is not all that suggestive. So I can see why a stupid parent who's not using the cool little apps and researching games for the kids would end up buying it for a young child by mistake because, you know, poor parenting skills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it is time. Seriously, PG rating? Did they watch the trailer at all? Did they read anything about the mini games? You got to take off clothes to see who can get lighter.
I think.
And then there's the spanking and the kissing, and I think there was some kind of dancing.
Yeah, I think that some little kids won't get what some of it is, but still. Some of the older ones, you know, we're talking about age 10 and up, do get the humor. They do understand, or even if they don't, you know, their minds are starting to say something is adult about this. They may not know exactly what it is, but they're getting the idea. It should not be rated. where kids can get a hold of it.
Mm-mm.
Honestly. But I was all for the game coming here to the U.S. I don't know why we're so crazy. We do have an M rating. We're able to tell parents, this is not for you. This or for your kids, or rather. This is for you to, you and, you know, mom and dad to play after the kids have gone to bed. Or this is for, you know, me, I'm a young adult. I got some man, or I got some woman, and I'm going to make dinner, and we're going to play a little We Dare after dinner type of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
But I think... You know, that's the funny thing about what's going on over the big pond is that they're doing so much better than us with organizing, mm-hmm. you know, the gaming, their gaming communities. But some things y'all are dropping the ball on. But this is just one thing, and compared to our 15.
No, we're just too busy telling, you know, games are violent and we make kids violent, and that's why he went crazy. It's not the bad parenting.
people.
Mm-hmm.
Should we go ahead and take a break? Should I throw one more in here before we go?
We can get one more.
One more. We got about 4 minutes. I'm just betting I could.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't think we talked about this last Friday because it came in late in the day, but wow. Okay, so you guys know the gangster back in the day, John Dillinger?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently his family were a little irritated with EA, and specifically the game Godfather. The family of the gangster, and this is from our friends at Game Politics, he lost, well, I don't even know where to begin with this, because this is one of those times when I'm like, this is stupid. They lost a 20-month federal court battle against EA. The Dillinger clan sued EA for using the gangster's name to represent a special machine gun in the Godfather and Godfather 2 video games.
Mm-hmm.
The games were extensions, of course, of the storylines made popular from the Mario Puzo novels and the Francis Ford Coppola-directed movies. On Thursday, Judge Jane Magnus Stinson of the U.S. District Court of Southern Indiana, why can't I talk, ruled against the family, saying that their claim of copyright infringement was not valid. And I totally agree with her. Ridiculous. The Dillinger family claimed that they control the right of publicity in connection with their infamous relative who was killed by FBI agents in 1934 after being on a 14-month crime spree. Of course, his crimes include a bank robbery in East Chicago, which left one police officer dead, and Dillinger's escape from the Lake County Jail in Crown Point, where he was awaiting trial for that particular murder. The lawyers for the family cited the 2006 case of Scaff versus Lake County Convention and Visitors Bureau, where a Lake County judge ruled that the state's 1996 right to publicity statute should be applied retroactively to Dillinger's family for the county's use of the name to promote a museum dedicated to Dillinger. Now, in that instance, yes. EA argued using a 2007 case out of New York in which a judge ruled that the descendants of actress Marilyn Monroe could not be granted similar publicity rights to her name because Monroe died before the law was enacted. After reviewing both decisions, Magnus Stinson agreed with the New York court ruling, saying that the state's right of publicity statute doesn't apply to personalities who died before it became law. No. EA was granted a motion of summary judgment, and the judge further ruled that the depictions of Dillinger in the popular culture have shown a deep association with the Thompson machine gun. Because of that association, the judge said that EA was exercising its right to free speech in using the name, which is protected by the First Amendment, of course. And this is Game Politics via NWI Times. Why is everybody always trying to grab a few dollars? What is that?
I don't know, but they are. It's getting kind of crazy out there, people.
Well, it is time for us to take a break. Go to our non-streaming portion.
Break time.
It is indeed. So we'll see you guys on the other side of our lovely break. What should we say? What should we play? What do you think, Ginger?
I don't know, but I need something with a beat.
Okay.
Yes.
You know, it would be good if I wasn't on mute. Remember, you can find this and other news at GameNHQ.com, SaberGirlsRadio.com. You can find Ginger on Facebook. Yes, don't stop me. Was her tight necklace? I'm doing it. I'm doing it.
zombie game today.
Yes, you will.
No zombie lane stuff for you.
You will because you love me.
I do. I love my Cory.
I think, how about I found zombies in my yard? That's not right.
I found those in my yard, too, the other day. I had to add a second little portion of my fence. I was mad.
You guys should be playing Zombie Lane with us. All right. We are back. See, that was a very short break because we didn't have much time.
Hey, we are back. Are we on the other side yet?
We are on the other side.
You're on the other side. All right, baby. Okay, so it's my turn, I think.
Yes, ma'am, it is.
All right, more gamepolitics.com this morning, because I love those people. Australia passes major R&D tax credit bill for video game industry. Yay, Australia.
Yay for Australia.
Mm-hmm. The Australian government has passed a $1.9 billion research and development tax bill for the video game industry this week, according to Develop. The bill, which becomes the law of the land in July, will support various video game studios under a digital creative industries designation. The law will help companies save money on research and development costs for a range of projects, as long as some conditions are met. Ron Curry, CEO of the Interactive Games and Entertainment Association, is delighted with the new R&D tax credit. He says that this move by the government has already attracted the interest of many global game publishers.
Yay!
Yay. Anthony Reed, CEO of the Game Developers Association of Australia, also backed the new policy. He says, since the first announcement of the R&D tax reform and in our own discussions with the Culture Department, it became very clear that the government has confidence in the abilities of Australian SMEs to deliver groundbreaking innovations for the global market. Innovation is at the heart of the game development, and the introduction of the new legislation not only assists in leveling the global competitive playing field, but also affords the local industry the opportunity to challenge traditional gameplay conventions. This is good news for Australia's game development industry, which has been in the decline, according to a February 2011 study by the Interactive Skills Integration Scheme. That report claimed that Australia had lost about 1,000 development jobs, or 50% of its development workforce since 2008. That's no good, but this is good. So, you know, hopefully this will bring more jobs back in.
Well, I think we need more jobs than they do. They seem to be doing a whole lot better in other territories.
Australia. Sure, they've got the accents, but they've got, like, big bugs and weird animals.
Did you say they got...
too, but not so many of the weird animals.
I am done. I'm done. She cited big bugs as a problem. I'm going to call my cousin today and say, I'm going to need some pictures of big bugs.
Some of those spiders. Some of those things are flipping huge.
You know what I got to say? Ever since when they were here last, she was talking about, what is it? There's a spider there that's really common, that's really deadly. Is it the Black Widow?
I don't know.
There's a couple of things there that they have that is really deadly.
They
that they're like
kind of like funnel spider there that's like incredibly deadly.
No, I don't want any of that. I'm gonna stay here. I'm not visiting. I'm not visiting you, cousin. I'm not.
Thanks, no thanks.
I'll meet you in Paris. We'll meet in Paris. That's good.
We're gonna stop somewhere and empty out your bags and wash all the clothes. Make sure there are no baby spiders inside.
Ooh, that would be. Oh, stop it! Now when I see her for Thanksgiving and Christmas, I'm gonna be like, ew, stop. Don't stand next to me. There's stuff in
your bring your laundry over here first.
No, because it might get loose in my house. No.
Well, then stop by, you know, like one of those rent-a-washer places.
Ugh. You know what? I'm trying to figure out when I became so on the girly side. There was a cricket in my kitchen over the weekend, and I freaked out over a cricket.
Over a cricket. That's
it used to be I would pick them up, you know, when I was a little, you know, a little game of nature. So I'd pick them up and, you know, play with them and talk to them. Hey, no, little cricket. You know, and I was like, oh, it's a cricket in my kitchen. When did I fall onto the other side? What happened? I need help. I feel horrible. I need to turn this off.
You do need help.
A cricket, people.
Okay. I love you, Cory.
Yeah, I'm not loving me. Anyway, you people over in Japan are lucky because 3DS TV service began.
Ooh, very cool.
A new 3D television service to the 3DS is going to begin in Japan from tomorrow, actually, with a variation. It's already tomorrow for them almost, anyway. With a variation of the existing Spot Pass feature used to download new content. So from Tuesday, Japanese 3DS owners will be able to download a new app from the Nintendo eShop called, I'm going to mess this up, Itsunomaniterbi, which... which Andrea Sang indicates is similar to the Japanese name for the Spot Pass service. The content from Fuji Television and Nippon Television will be produced specifically for the DS. The shows will be free to download, but will have advertisements. Daily updates are promised for the most of the content, including shows themed around news, animals, train spotting, magic tricks, and celebrity idol wrestling. I think we need to bring that show to the U.S. I need Brad Pitt and Keanu Reeves in some mud. I'm just saying. All right. So, yeah, right? A weekly show focusing on outdoor sculptures will be available as well, and also a sports program every Saturday and Sunday. That sounds interesting. 3D television content has also been promised for the European market, which Nintendo originally announced with deals with Sky TV and Aardman Animation during the first unveiling of the 3DS in Europe. See, they promise and they give it to you. There's still no indication of when the content will be available, although a 3D trailer for the movie Green Lantern is currently available on the European eShop. Ooh, isn't that hot?
That is hot.
They promise and they deliver, so I'm waiting to see. You can't wait, and I want to get the DS. Ooh, and my pink iPad.
Ooh, yes, yes, yes. The pink bedazzled iPad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we are out of order.
We are. Some other people are apparently out of order.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
GamePolitics.com this morning because, you know, I love them. Love you guys. By the way, please approve my account. Thanks. Future Publishing claims Tim Langdale's clock in UK court. Tim Langdale, the owner of Edge Games and the litigious defender of the trademark Edge, has taken a serious thrashing in the UK courts at the hands of Future Publishing over its popular gaming publication, Edge Magazine. The company took Langdale to court in 2010 over the breach of contract, breach of copyright, and misrepresenting the brand as belonging to Edge Games, causing brand confusion. Oh, not good.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. While the blow-by-blow is entertaining, it is also long-winded and mentally taxing to read as Langdale bobs and weaves in court, taking great liberties with the truth. If you're interested, Rock Paper Shotgun offers an in-depth accounting of the court battle.
Wow.
The short story is that Future Publishing wanted to avoid any litigation with Langdale, so it reached a licensing deal with Edge Games that allowed them to use the Edge trademark. The deal started to crumble when Langdale started using Edge Magazine's logo on its letterhead and sent out documents that confused people as to the association between Langdale and Edge Magazine. Future filed a lawsuit against the company. Needless to say, the judge sifted through all of Langdale's claims and evidence, including his assertion that he designed the original Edge logo. His evidence was a floppy disk that he claimed was from 1991, but it turned out that the disk was formatted using Windows 95. Windows 95 came out in, wait for it, 1995. You can read the top dance that followed, top dance, I think they meant tap dance, that followed that revelation in court at RPS. Langdale was stripped of his trademarks by a U.S. court for filing too many lawsuits. Ha ha!
These people, please.
I can't
possibly did you just go, ha ha?
I did too. See, that's what you get for lying. You know, you go out there lying. Oh, this is from 91, but it's been formatted with Windows 95. Uh-huh. Liar.
Well, that's interesting. That's very interesting.
I love that.
Wow. Oh, it's hot. Okay.
Yeah, now we're filing too many lawsuits. About time.
Well, I don't even know what to say to that. I'm trying to find something to say. I got nothing.
I got two words. All right, I got four. So the only two I can say is drama llama, because the other two, A and W, I can't say on
Well, as always, we tell you what's on the charts in the UK. We're still working on getting our American charts, which we, It's coming. It's coming. It's in the works. Y'all know I'm so busy.
She is. Y'all have no idea. This woman never sleeps.
This is true. Very rarely sleep. I got sleep last night, though, so that'll last me this week. Okay. So there is some juicy fighting going on about the charts in the UK. Remember we told you last week that Zelda was number one on the charts. Well, the Zumba Fitness people said, no, they're not. The 3DS remake of The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time has had to settle for second place in the UK, all formats, in the second place in the UK, as Fit Title Zumba Fitness returns to the number one spot. Zumba Fitness saw a 43% surge in sales over the course of this past week, with a 51% increase in Wii sales. Nintendo's home console accounted for 89% of the sales of this title this week. The title's continuing success prevented Nintendo's critically acclaimed 3DS Zelda title from topping the charts, although according to Chart Track, it was bought by 20% of all 3DS owners. Sales are reported to be not that far away from the top-selling title so far, which is Pilot Wings Resort. What's going on with Pilot Wings Resort? Following an almost universal critical panning, Duke Nukem Forever saw sales drop by 58% in its second week on the charts, although it only fell as far as number three, so not too far. The second highest new entry of the week after Zelda was Square Enix's Western-made dungeon crawler Dungeon Siege 3 at number 9. The previously PC-exclusive franchise saw 52% of its sales on the Xbox 360, 25% on the PlayStation 3, and 19% on the PC. Outside of top EA, outside of the top 10 is EA's Alice Madness Returns debuted at number 13 with 59% of the sales on the Xbox 360, 33% on PlayStation 3, and 8% on the PC. Ubisoft's Connect enhanced title, Child of Eden, didn't even break into the all 20, but it did appear on the Xbox 360 chart at number 9. Really? Connect enabled does not help. Connect enhanced or enabled. Also, let me go ahead and tell you the last two that made the top five. L.A. Noire, of course, and Brink. Still in the top five. Amazing. Ginger, are you still with us? Ginger?
Wait. I'm back.
We have lost our changes. Oh, no.
I was here. I was like, why can't you hear me?
Because I can't. Your necklace was a little too tight. It was choking you.
You just wait, woman. You just wait.
Gotta guess me first. Okay. Oh, I guess I'll do the other top 10. People are like, well, what's the other top 10? You also got number 6, Lego Pirates of the Caribbean. 7, Dirt 3. 8, Infamous 2, which I'm going to have to play after I finish the first one. Also, Dungeon Siege 3, of course, made it into the top 10. And FIFA 11 is number 10. It was 11 last week. Amazing. Who's playing FIFA? Do I want to play FIFA?
Nobody that I know is playing FIFA.
That's because we're American. You know, our football's different.
This is true. This is true.
I'm still mad that they didn't put Madden back on the Wii. I did enjoy tackling people. For those of you who don't know how you tackle people when you're playing it on the Wii, you have the Wiimote and the nunchuck, and you actually have to turn it, like physically turn your body in their direction and lunge, like you're really tackling them. I love that. Taking the crap out of people over at my house, I would just tackle them. They didn't even have the ball. I'd just tackle them.
See, and that is what the Wii has up on the PlayStation Move and the Xbox Kinect.
Yes, that you can turn and move and turn and move, and it knows when you're moving. Because I'm telling you, people were going down. My cousin's like, I don't even have the ball. Shut up.
I don't care. I'm going to tackle you anyways.
You can hit him too, which is...
Oh, I'm mad. Like,
penalty. 5 yards. Still first down.
I think I'll take that penalty.
Yes, I am.
Back again.
I am a football fan. What do you think? I'm in the South. This is football country.
We start them out young in football. I mean, they're able to walk, and we are putting them, you know, in like peewee football.
That's right. The girls.
Which is so cute.
Look, the girls, too.
Oh, yes, the girls, too, and the peewee cheerleading, which is so adorable.
Have you seen, and I want to say she's in Houston, but she might be in an outlying city. We have a girl who's a linebacker. This chick is big. And she's played through junior high and high school, and their colleges are talking about picking her up.
Wow.
This would be an amazing first to have a woman linebacker playing college
football.
That would
be awesome.
Amazing. I'm gonna
that is a big deal down here. That is a big deal.
She's a big girl. And she's not fat, guys. She's just a big girl. And I have seen her hit.
Awesome.
Oh, my God. That
chick is awesome.
All right. It's time to go. It's hot. Okay.
Go.
We'll see you guys bright and early tomorrow. You know where to find us. Maybe.
GameAndAtrix.com. Facebook.
Second lie. Second lie.
Hello again, friend of a friend. I knew you were. I come and go, was waiting for the world to end. Now that the truth is just the rule that you command, you crack the whip, shape shift and trick the past.
Bye, boys and girls.